To the Democratic Republic of Congo now, where the World Health Organization has raised the public health risk from the Ebola outbreak from high to very high. There have been more than 100 suspected deaths and around 900 suspected cases of Ebola in the DRC so far. Meanwhile, the Red Cross says three of its volunteers died in the DRC from suspected Ebola. Bronwyn Nicol is an expert in public health emergencies at the International Federation of the Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies. I spoke with her earlier. Bronwyn Nicol, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Red Cross has confirmed over the weekend that three of your volunteers in the Democratic Republic of Congo have tragically died from suspected Ebola. How hard is that hitting the team right now?
Yeah, it's been a rough week for the team as we've been really looking into this to figure out what has happened, as well as for the teams that are still working. These are volunteers that have been with the branch for quite a while and were working prior to the outbreak being declared. So it has been very rough on the team and the branch, particularly working at community level, as they try and work through this as well.
We've seen some reports of local people attacking some of the treatment centres. How difficult is it to get the message to the community about what's needed at the moment?
I mean, there is quite a bit of mistrust happening at the moment. We tend to see this often in Ebola outbreaks, so it's not new. But what is different this time is that, you know, we're dealing with a different species of Ebola, the Bundibugyo species, which is not as common. And so the treatment options, the vaccination options aren't the same as what they are when we have Ebola Zaire outbreaks. And communities are used to that. So they're questioning why there aren't vaccines, why we're treating things a bit differently than usual. And that makes the mistrust a bit higher within the response. And I mean, Ebola is a scary thing. If someone in your family dies and people show up in full personal protective equipment wanting to change the way you do burials, it is disconcerting. So it does take quite a lot of discussion with community and figuring out how we can make burials safe, but still also try and respect traditions and how people like to have burials happen as much as we can while keeping everyone safe.
So the way that those who have died, the way that they are being handled by family members and also medical teams as well, that's crucial.
Yeah, I mean, teams are specially trained to deal with bodies that have died of confirmed or suspected Ebola. They have, you know, it's head-to-toe personal protective equipment, special protocols that are used in terms of how the body's handled, how things are disinfected afterwards, how we then also have to clean the cars that transport the coffins. Families can definitely participate, but there are, you know, measures they also have to take in terms of keeping them safe, and same with healthcare workers and those supporting the bodies, because dead bodies are especially infectious, and that is one of the main drivers of transmission, is unsafe burial.
You arrived in the DRC over the weekend. What's the situation on the ground where you are?
Well, I'm still in Kinshasa, but it's still, you know, it's a lot of everyone's working to try and get our supplies out to Ituri as well. We have teams that have arrived over the weekend from the DRC Red Cross, some that were already there, some reinforcements from other branches that have a lot of experience working in Ebola arrived over the weekend. And there's some more teams hoping to go in next week as well. Same with hopefully some of our supplies. We have some items for safe burials that were there from previous outbreaks, and we're bringing in more material as well over the coming weeks.
This strain of Ebola known as Bundibugyo can have an incubation period of up to 21 days. Are there concerns that it was circulating and circulating more widely than was understood many weeks before this Ebola outbreak was declared?
I mean, this is something that is definitely under suspicion at the moment, and there are field investigation teams looking into this in terms of how far back they think transmission started. Was this circulating earlier? I mean, the death of the Red Cross volunteers certainly does indicate that as well to a certain extent, because they were supporting burials before the outbreak was declared. They were working on regular burials that the branch team supports with Ministry of Health for non-infectious diseases. So they weren't wearing their full PPE. They were wearing, you know, basic standard precautions that are done for burials, but not full Ebola level. And so that does point to it's likely something was happening earlier, but we still need that proper epidemiological investigation to really know the true extent of what was happening.
You've worked on a number of Ebola outbreaks in the past. What are your biggest concerns about the current situation?
The biggest issue, I think, is still this community mistrust that is happening, because without communities really being part of the solution and being involved in some of the containment measures, they don't work. They can't be done by force. Ebola is a scary thing. Personal protective equipment is a scary thing. It's very understandable that there is this hesitancy towards some of the changes that have to happen when we're in an Ebola outbreak. But until we really have that community buy-in within the response, it will be a difficult response, as we've seen with this reluctance to work with burial teams, to work with contact tracing teams. And so that is the piece that really does need to shift in this outbreak.
Is social media playing any of a role in that?
I mean, things can circulate. There's definitely a lot of false information that does circulate in epidemics. We saw this a lot in COVID as well. And things can be passed very quickly through WhatsApp, through other social media. The good news is there are teams that do monitor this. For example, WHO, UNICEF both do quite a lot of social media scanning, and they share those reports that they generate with other partners. And that helps us know as well what people are saying, what people are thinking, and particularly across some of the social media platforms.
Bronwyn, thank you so much for making some time to speak, and for you and your team, stay safe.
Thank you very much.